This is Danny and Gallant on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Play the play on the show.
It is Danny and Gallant. It's 9 o'clock. We're going to be talking to Pete Carroll. About a half hour from now, the Pete Carroll Show. The Seahawks 3-0. They win, and this wasn't nearly as close as their last game, right? They won it on the second-to-last play. The opponent was only on the 26 instead of on the absolute one. And I guess the ball got into the end zone, but as we bring in Michael Bumpus to join us.
It was a blowout.
Yeah, this was significantly more comfortable than it was a week earlier against the Patriots, Michael.
Yeah, it was. You know, Cam down on the 1 yard line. There was a moment where I thought this game was over. There's no way they're going to stop this big human being from gaining a yard, and they do it. And then with the Cowboys, you know, I was a bit nervous. They're moving the ball. You knew that when the Cowboys had the ball with time left on the clock, that it was going to be close, just because of how the game has gone. You know, prior to that, they were able to throw the ball down the field and make big plays. Cowboys make the most 10-plus yard plays in the NFL to this day. So I'm thinking, all right, well, here we go. We'll see how close this one gets. But they were able to pull it off. You got a rookie stepping up, and Allen Robinson with a sack and two tackles for loss at the end of that game to help out. So it wasn't pretty. It wasn't comfortable, but it was more comfortable than it was the week before. So you take a win whenever you can.
When the offense is purring like this, any mistake, even if it is a fairly boneheaded one, becomes – a little bit magnified, but Bump, what we're seeing with Russ, it's truly historic. 14 touchdown passes through 3 weeks, should have been 15 touchdown passes, and it does not show any signs of falling off.
No, it doesn't. And that is exciting. Russell Wilson, 14 touchdowns. That's a record. Completing 77% of his passes. That's if he finishes the season off that way, that'll be the highest completion rate he's ever had. So as long as Russell's playing at a high level and making good decisions, I think this is sustainable. Now it's eliminating all the other things, pass protection. Third downs haven't been great. There's always things that you have to fix. But if you have your best player on your team playing at a high level, you have a chance. Now, can he keep this up? I think he can. But I also think at some point this defense is going to have to win a ball game. I don't think you can depend on Russell to be perfect every single week. Most of the times, yes. But at some point, this defense has got to figure something out and have a game where they hold a quarterback to, say, 350 yards and not 400 yards.
They really need to buckle down and get it in order. And if they could just hold somebody to 350 instead of 400, that'd be significantly. It's the
hold to 350.
What you just said about the defense having to sort of win a game for them is basically the exact opposite of what it used to be. We used to feel that way about Russ, that, hey, and I remember his rookie year, people saying, like, if you need it from Russ, can you get it? Like, when you need two fourth quarter touchdowns, are you going to be able to get it? He answered that forever in the playoff loss to Atlanta, the way he brought him back from the 20-point deficit that was there. I think we're now going to watch this defense to see, like, okay, at some point you're going to need to hold the lead. It's at some point, and preferably it doesn't come down to the final 20 seconds of the game with your back against the wall. At some point, you're going to need to be able to hold on to a lead.
Yeah, you have to. What, they were at 14 points at one time?
30 to 15.
15. It's a stressful situation. It's stressful for us. Imagine being a player on the field and feeling that stress. So the good part about it is they will be battle tested. They played three of the top 10 passing offenses in the NFL thus far. You played Dak Prescott. Matt Ryan can get it done. Who am I missing? The second game.
Cam Newton.
Cam.
Thank you. Cam. How can I
Wham,
Cam?
Bam. Right, we slammed Cam.
They played some really good quarterbacks. So I'm trying to find a positive there. So I'm like, okay, well, this week we have Fitzpatrick. We know he's a journeyman. He can light up the scoreboard if he has opportunities to. But this week, I think, will tell us if they're able to climb out of this hole, right? You got up against three really good quarterbacks. Fitzpatrick isn't on that level, but he's capable of getting it done. If you don't handle the Miami Dolphins like you think you should, then I think you start to worry. There's concern right now. But if this week doesn't look like it's supposed to look like, then I think you panic a bit.
What are you telling your defensive backs as a coaching staff when your mantra for your defense is stay on top, but they didn't even look capable of staying on top with the speed discrepancies between them and Dallas's wide receivers?
There's not much you can tell them. I mean, that's your coaching point. Stay on top. So if you stress that even more now, then I think you're still going to see big plays, because now they're going to be so concerned about staying on top of this receiver. Here's a 15-yard curl. Here's a 15-yard comeback. Here's a dig. You know, here's a slant. So it's a lot more. It's not as complicated as people think, but it's harder to execute, because now you want your DBs to make plays. Everyone's happy. Shaq got a pick yesterday. He got a pick. Why? Because he was being aggressive and he broke on the football, because he wasn't so far over the top to where he couldn't make a play on that ball. So it's like, what do you want from these guys? All right, stay on the top, stay over top, give the intermediate, or take chances, get beat over the top. Either way you put it, they just have to make plays. And right now, we're just not seeing enough of that.
What's allowing Seattle's offense to operate at the level that it is? I mean, 14 touchdown passes through three games. We know the quarterback's awesome, but this is something that is different. Even at his best moments, we haven't seen productivity like this. What's allowed him to reach this higher gear, do you think, Bump?
Just like you mentioned, obviously Russell Wilson, but I also think Schottenheimer needs more love, man. You remember the Bevel days? Everyone was going hard on Bevel. He does this, he does that. I think Schottenheimer is in a good place when it comes to play calling. I think that he is able to kind of predict what kind of looks he's going to get from that defense, and him and Russell are on the same page. I guarantee you, when Shotty calls a play, he's watching this play develop. He's going through the reads just like Russell Wilson. They score a touchdown. They're getting on the phone. They're talking about what they're seeing. So with Russell Wilson playing well, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, all those guys contributing, you got to tip your hat off to Schottenheimer. The play calling looks creative at times, and it looks like him and Russell are on the same page. It doesn't feel like Shotty is calling plays just to survive. He's calling plays to put up 40 points. It's aggressive play calling. At times, it can be frustrating. She's like, oh, my God, run the football. But, you know, well, first we asked him to throw the ball more. Now we're asking him to run. At this point, it's like, look, let Schottenheimer work. These dudes are averaging over 30 points a game. All right, let him do his thing.
There were a couple of moments in the first half where some of the militant 12s who are demanding and trying to bully the Seahawks into letting Russ cook were upset, thinking that maybe Seattle was going back to some of the same offensive things they'd done in the past, running on first, running on second down. Having Chris Carson still going forward, and it sounds like this injury to Chris Carson isn't that serious and that he might even be able to play Sunday, that's got to be huge for Brian Schottenheimer, for this offense. I do wonder, without Carson and the threat of him running the football, because he has run the ball very well and very hard when he's been out there, if this could have been a big problem, a bigger problem. It did seem like one, because that injury looked like it was pretty serious.
Yeah, if you lose Chris Carson, you lose a back who understands the style of football that this team wants to play. Now, let's not forget, they still have Carlos Hyde, who I feel like when he does have the football, he's not Chris Carson, but you see some similarities there. So if you were to lose a guy like Chris Carson, I think there would be a drop-off, but nothing crazy. Thank goodness Carson is ready to go. I mean, that tackle that was made on him was dirty. It was one of the dirtiest plays I've seen in a while. I got some cowboy friends who are they told me all stuff happened. So I had to send them the video, like, look at this, man. This man grabbed his ankle and rolled violently. That doesn't just happen. So thankfully Chris Carson got away or got out of that. Hopefully he's going to play this week. But just like Tyler Lockett, and I always tell people, Tyler Lockett is so important to this offense. He's not flashy. He's not going to take you up top every chance he gets and really burn a guy. He's going to work across the middle. He's going to be available with the scrambles. He's going to be on the same page with Russell. Carson's kind of the same thing. He's not going to break off a 40, 50-yard run, but there's going to be a guy in the backfield. He's going to shrug him off and gain 2 or 3 yards. He's going to be available when it comes to checkdowns. He has 3 receiving touchdowns this year. He's versatile. So you have your big names like the DKs and the Russells that kind of highlight this offense right now. But without those guys doing all the dirty work, you know, the third and short guys, this thing doesn't go. So Lockett and Carson are those guys.
More encouraging that Seattle is 3-0. Or concerning that this defense has given up the most pass yards after 3 games than any team in NFL history? Which is the bigger thing, Bump?
3-0.
That's right. Yes, every single time.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it looks like. In the moment, you might be stressed. You're going to look at the film and say, oh, we got to get better at this, better at that. End of the day, 3-0, first in the division, and your offense is playing at a high level. Now, if one side of the ball is playing at a high level, you can deal with that. Okay, we'll work on something. And you're working on something, and you're 3-0. So it's like, I understand the concerns, and I appreciate the players in the postgame. You feel it. They're like, yes, we're 3-0, but we have to work on stuff. If you're getting better and you're 3-0 and you're putting up 30-plus points, I'd rather be there than be the Minnesota Vikings right now.
Yeah, that was awesome. If anybody didn't see that, watching Kirk Cousins get the ball with a couple minutes to go, knowing that they needed a touchdown, was absolutely one of the more fundamentally fulfilling elements of this NFL season. The only thing slightly better was a quarterback. It's not as bad as getting fired on your day off, but when you get benched before you lose a game. It happened in Chicago. We'll explain that next. Michael Bumpus is in with us for this hour. We've got Pete Carroll show coming up at 9:30, but next we go around the NFL, including Mitchell Trubisky's no good, terrible, very bad day.
But before that, listen, guys, I got to talk about my guy, Alton Robinson, delivering the hit of the week, brought to you by advocateslaw.com.
Prescott takes the snap. Again, a three-man rush. He gets hit. He gets hit and goes down. Robinson there to make the sack. At about the 25-yard line, and now the Cowboys use their final timeout. The perfect time for a sack. Way to go, young man. Alton Robinson gets the sack for the Seahawks.
Hey, I thought you were shilling for your school, but I don't think that's actually what the case is.
Here. I was actually about to ask you, like, hey, do you know where you went to school? Do you know?
I do. I'm aware he went to Syracuse.
You did? Oh, okay, awesome. And by the way, that hit of the week is brought to you by the Advocates Law. .com. I like that. Where the veil of Onondaga meets the eastern sky. Okay, I'll stop. It's Danny and Gallant, 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time to go around the NFL. Brought to you by Toyota of Puyallup. The bottom line on the biggest stories in the NFL every morning at 9:15 with Danny and Gallant.
Today's an exceptional day.
Yes. It's me. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, this isn't exactly getting fired on you. What?
Are you getting wistful? It's your third to last around the NFL.
It is my third to last around the NFL, guys. So
let's go. Let's go.
You better keep this. Soak it in.
Come on. All right, let's go.
We got to bring back Linda at some point this week. But that's not today, because we're going to start in Chicago, where Nick Foles replaced Mitch Trubisky yesterday, rallying the Bears to a 3-0 start. But that also happened to plunge the Falcons to an 0-3 start, including giving up their second straight fourth quarter lead. So did the Falcons lose this one, or did Nick Foles win it?
The Falcons lost it, right? The Falcons, that choke DNA, it runs deep, man.
16-point fourth quarter lead they blew this time.
Oh, my goodness.
A week after blowing a 15-point fourth quarter lead.
You blew it to Nick Foles. And I know that Nick Foles had the Super Bowl run. Come on, that guy's a backup quarterback. I feel bad for Mitchell Trubisky, but it's about
time.
Why do
you feel bad for him?
It's about time they took old Yeller out back.
Did you see the...
The
throw that sunk it?
Yeah.
It's at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
And it was a third down, and Anthony Miller's wide open. Like, it's exactly what you want. Mm. And he overthrew him by, like, a yard. Like, Miller couldn't even dive for it. You're just like, you can't play NFL. You can't play quarterback in the NFL if you can't make that throw. Like, I don't know what else to tell you, guy. And he didn't even lose a game, and he lost a starting job. An undefeated team benched its starting quarterback.
Yeah, they're 3-0.
Oh, man. That's bad. I feel bad for Dan Quinn. And yeah. Dan Quinn and Mitch are kind of in the same boat. Like, all right, this is your last opportunity. Like, you have to prove that you can get it done. And they're just not getting it done. Dan Quinn's players are going to go to bat for him. Nice dude. But at some point, you have to make a change. Same thing with Chicago. At some point, they had to make a change. The fact that you're going to Nick Foles, I guess he's a Super Bowl champ. All right, he's got some kind of DNA in him. But it's about time. It's time to move on. And we'll see how long Dan Quinn lasts there.
Well, the Jets are backing head coach Adam Gase. I don't know how or why, but after their third straight blowout loss.
Did Fireman Ed have a heart attack when he read that news?
Oh. Oh, you're gonna dump on the Fireman?
J-E-T-S. Oh, no.
I will be listening, watching Adam Gase's Wednesday press conference because the way the New York media is picking at the carcass that is his coaching career is pretty entertaining. Like last week's, what was it where he was like, we were able to move the ball. You were happy with how the offense went? Like, that was a good day for you at the office? Like, it is getting brutal.
Is Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold, man.
Is he salvageable?
I don't know. 17-29, three picks. And he doesn't have much around him. That's what kind of, I'm like, well, you see the talent in Sam Darnold. You see the arm talent. But no disrespect to Frank Gore, love him to death, but he is your running back right now. You got Frank Gore as your running back. Receiver-wise, you don't have any names out there that anyone can recognize. I mean, Sam Darnold has talent, but he doesn't have talent around him. So what can you really expect from this offense?
Nothing.
You can't get rid of Darnold. You can't get rid of him with Gase. If only because Ryan Tannehill sitting out there is like, hey, look at me. Sometimes you're decent when you get rid of the bug-eyed freak. I got a snort from Jess.
Snorting some smelling salts. Got him.
I need something when it comes to those Jets. Let's move on. Eagles head coach Doug Peterson says he has no plans to bench Carson Wentz after Philadelphia ended in a tie with Cincinnati yesterday.
Oh, boy. I mean, goodness gracious. That team is wretched. How are they 0-2? They have too much talent to be there. And Carson Wentz, bro, making me look bad.
What's the quickest a coach has ever been fired after winning a Super Bowl? Like, what's... Because I feel like Peterson, it's tough to have people turn on you this quick after winning a Super Bowl in Philly.
He's fixing
to get fired this year.
Jalen Hurts. Yeah. I called it at the beginning of this season. Now, they're working Hurts in as a receiver. They're slowly introducing Hurts to this Eagles fan base. I'm going to say by the third quarter of this year, we're going to see Hurts taking snaps and have his own package. And if he does anything that resembles success, they're going to be calling for him.
That is around the NFL. The third to last, you can see Jessamyn McIntyre's precision. It's as good as any two-minute drill you'll come across, or four-minute drill in the league. We've got two more days to relish that. But we've got Pete Carroll. The Seahawks coach is sitting down with us, the Pete Carroll Show, coming up next here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Danny and Gallant.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
A guy like him has all the talent in the world.
Russell looks, sets, has time. Going to throw to the end zone.
You know, he could take it easy. He could do this, do that. One of the first guys there every day. One of the guys that's always ready to work.
DK, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Always ready to get extra reps. I mean,
suddenly he flashes in the end zone, and it's DK Metcalf, and he, in fact, makes up for the play earlier.
What we really connected on more than anything else was life, you know, just, you know, I think what's really important to him, same things that are really important to me, you know, faith and family and all those things. But, you know, I just think that he loves the game. He wants to be great.
And it's only fitting, isn't it, that he's the guy who comes up with the big reception, the touchdown, with 1:47 left to play.
And the Seahawks do hold on after that. They are 3-0. Just the second time that's been true in Pete Carroll's 11 seasons. We're waiting on the Seahawks head coach. He'll be joining us to start the Pete Carroll Show. But Seattle, 14 touchdown passes by Russell Wilson through three games. Seattle is 3-0. Michael Bumpus is with us here. Let's get a couple of injury updates because we do know two things. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network has reported that Chris Carson suffered what he characterized as a minor knee sprain, and that the running back, who it looked like it was a pretty nasty injury, could even conceivably play this week. Jordan Brooks, who was starting in place of Bruce Irvin, suffered a sprained MCL. That's probably out a couple of weeks, but that's not it's not thought to be of the season ending variety. So both of those would be overall encouraging. You never like anybody to get hurt, but it doesn't sound like either of those guys, it's a long-term loss for either one.
It's the NFL. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to get banged up. So it's encouraging that it doesn't seem serious. And that just means the next guy up, that means Cody Barton. I mean, KJ, we talked to KJ, and he said that Cody Barton had one of the best camps at that linebacker position. Now, Jordan Brooks is obviously going to get the first opportunity because he's the first round guy. But now it's time for Cody to step up. And this isn't something that this team isn't used to. Next man up, that's been in football as long as I've been around. So I know it's been around longer than me. But this is the NFL. Guys get banged up. What do you do after that?
One of the guys who stepped up, Shaquem Griffin, had one of the best grades on Pro Football Focus for his game. And on that last drive, he was flashing. I mean, he just spades around the field. And he's going to get more opportunities as well. And honestly, after what we saw from him yesterday, he certainly deserves them.
He looked really good. Ugo Amadi looked really good over the course of the game. It's hard to talk about like what looked good on a defense given the amount of yards that they gave up. But Alton Robinson had a sack. Benson Mayoa got some pressure. They hit Dak Prescott 10 times. There were certainly some things to like about how the defense played.
They're getting closer to getting to that quarterback, right? I heard you guys talk to Brock earlier today. 10 times. I mean, it might not feel like 10 times because you see all these explosive plays, but these guys are watching hours of film, and whatever they're doing with this D-line during the week is starting to show up a bit. And, you know, with the addition of Alton Robinson, that's going to help as well. So they're moving in the right direction on that D-line. There's other things you have to fix, but you got to find positives somewhere on defense. That's a positive.
Well, not only just positives on defense, we also saw an offense, right, Paul, that continues. 14 touchdown passes in three games. Tyler Lockett with a career-high 3 touchdown receptions in this game. It was fantastic.
I don't know how you stop this offense. And, Bump, the rapport that Russ has with Tyler Lockett is unbelievable. Those 2 1-yard touchdown passes, he's wide open. He's wide open on the deep pass downfield as well. Lockett, I think, went a long way in at least showing to the world he's one of the top receivers in the NFL, which I don't think is something he gets put into the conversation of a lot.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, he put some respect on his name. And Jess told me yesterday at the game, he goes, Lockett's confidence is growing at the same rate as Russell Wilson's, like they're moving together.
And the Seahawks coach, Pete Carroll, is now sitting down with us. It's time to start the Pete Carroll Show.
This is how we play. This is what we do.
The Pete Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Danny and Gallant.
Let's capture exactly how this happened and just keep on recreating it 1 week at a time.
Presented by Banner Bank on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Coach, congratulations. I've been saying this was much more comfortable than last week's. You guys, second to last play this week, and they were on the 26 as opposed to the 1. It's old hat. It was a heck of a finish for you guys.
It was a good finish. It was a good football game again, and we're seeing a real common kind of a format for the games, you know, and a lot of offense and way too many big plays on us on defense, but a ton of big plays on offense that's making the difference. And fortunately, in this one, we were able to get the ball off them, you know, really 4 times when you count the safety. So that's playing winning football, and it's been hard, but we're growing. We got a lot of growing to do here. We're going to get a lot better, and so I'm thrilled that we're 3-0 and still learning how to play our football the way we want to play it, and looking forward to the next one.
If there are more shootouts to come, it's pretty cool to have a quarterback who makes 4 to 5 touchdown passes in a game look like it's normal.
Yeah, well, Russell is just doing a great job. Yesterday was harder than the other two games. You know, we had more pressure. They have big time rushers on their side, and they factored into it. But he navigated his way through it, and we held it up, and the guys made their plays when we had to, and it gave us a chance, you know, to put again a lot of points on the board and took advantage of the defense. You know, we got the ball, the safety was there, the ball down in close a couple times, and scored in sudden changes, which is always good. Really good in the red zone for offense, and just there's a lot of positives. We got stuff we got to work on, and we got banged up again and on the back end, and guys had to come up and play and do some stuff. Ryan Neal this time, Trey playing the whole game this time, so we just got to make sure that we're cleaning things up as we keep moving ahead.
Coach held Ezekiel Elliott to 34 rush yards, which is awesome. This run defense is looking great. What are you seeing out of that so far?
Yeah, it's been really consistent, and when you look at what's happened in the games, you know, teams are coming out trying to mix their game. Just for instance, I think the stat is in the first quarter of games, the first 3 games, they've run the ball or thrown the ball 57% of the time. In the fourth quarter, they've thrown the ball 88% of the time. You know, so we've discouraged people from running the football and drawn them into this throwing thing, and as they're trying to catch up because we're ahead, and they're putting up a ton of yards on us. So But the running game is really that's a real steady part for us, and we got to keep that going. That'll continue to give us a chance to play winning football.
You saw an opportunity this time. You guys needed a touchdown late. Well, you needed a field goal. You ended up getting the touchdown. The play, it was a little bit of redemption for DK Metcalf, but want to let you listen to Steve Rabel's call of what turned out to be the game-winning touchdown, the 29-yard pass to DK Metcalf.
Here. Russell looks, sets, has time. Going to throw to the end zone. Lock. It's DK. He makes the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks. I couldn't see him for a second, and suddenly he flashes in the end zone, and it's DK Metcalf, and he, in fact, makes up for the play earlier. And it's only fitting, isn't it, that he's the guy who comes up with the big reception, the touchdown, with 1:47 left to play.
How far did DK have to run? Because he started out on the other side of the formation and came
all
the way.
Yeah, that was a really was one of those efforts that you can see the advantage of it because Russell's time in the pocket and a little bit of float in the pocket. He's running a curl on the other side and just kept going. He saw Russell's eyes were really set to the right. Russell was reading right side, and he just ran his way right into the winning touchdown, you know, with a great effort and a great finish. It was the play that happened earlier in the game. It was a horrible play for us. I mean, it goes against everything that we believe in, and DK knew it and all that. Maybe one of the harder lessons that he'll have to learn, but it's a lesson for all of us, is that you finish everything, you know. And we have a phrase that we use at Nick Sorensen always champions about, we celebrate in the paint. That means you celebrate when you get in the end zone, not before. And that's not, we have covered this stuff so many times. It was unfortunate that was such a significant play for him. But I don't think that's ever going to happen again to any of us. And so let's learn that lesson, win a game, and get better for it.
Pete, how do you approach that as a coach? Because that's not something that, I mean, DK knows as soon as it happened what his mistake was. How do you approach it when somebody makes a mistake that they obviously feel terrible about?
Well, it depends. It depends on what happened and all. But, you know, what's frustrating about it is that it's such an emphasis for us. Excuse me. And with that, it's frustrating to see us not do something that we work on and talk about all the time. So the obvious is so clear. And I mean, I looked at DK as he came off, and he looked, and we just went, oh, you know, like, okay, you know, we get it. And so there's not much that needs to be said, as demonstrative of a moment that was for, you know, for the right and the wrong. But it'll come up in our films today. It'll come up when we're going through it. I mean, he's getting pounded. You know, it's all over the league and everything, you know, showing. So the emphasis is there. And a guy that really cares, he'll fix it. But it's more importantly that everybody else does too, you know, because that was an example for everyone. And so we point that example out all the time when another team does, you know, makes that error and the ball gets knocked out. We've had a number of those over the years. Remember, Earl's knocked a couple out and Cam got one. And a bunch of guys have done it. So we know what this is like. And we just got to do it better in our moment when we get our chance. Again,
to piggyback off of that, one of the other things that I think it's sort of explanatory with your defense stay on top and 3 40-yard touchdowns in this game, what do you tell your players after a game like that? Because clearly they know, yeah, we don't want to get beat deep.
Well, you tell them, you know, you go through the obvious, you know, you guys want me to tell you what I tell them. It's the obvious that happens, you know, and this is such a big emphasis that when it doesn't come through and we don't respond properly, then, you know, all we can do is just go back at it again and try to find our ways for emphasis. Well, on the time when Shaq got beat deep, it was a backed up situation, which we always know that teams like to throw deep balls coming out. And you watch both corners, they both bailed out early to take care of the deep ball. Well, the guy ran by us anyway, you know, and so, the mentality was there, the coaching was there, the execution of the emphasis was there for both players, but we got outplayed on the play. And so, you know, we have to come through and make our plays when the time comes. And that was one of those examples. I mean, you could see all of the thought process was there, and they still got us. So that's good play by them. It's a great throw and a great deep threat. You know, got to live with it. We got to move on.
Pete, you guys are averaging over 30 points a game so far. Was there a moment in camp when you looked at your coaches and say, look, this offense could be really explosive this year?
Yes, there was, Michael. There was that. We thought it all the way through. You could just see the confidence. The question mark was, will we be able to hold up front to give Russ the time? Because we could see in practice, when you can't sack the quarterback going through camp, that he was killing it and he was hitting everything and he understood the principles and the concepts. And we have a ton of different things that we can do now with our 3 years together and really with with Shadi and Russ working together, we have a big backlog of stuff that we can go to, and Russ understands them all. And so if we give him a chance to throw it, he's taking full advantage of it. And so that's what was showed up in camp, and we had to hold out hope, you know, that it was going to, you know, materialize in the games, and it has. And so the point now is we guys got to go to the next week and work it up again, see if we can keep going.
Pete, you've used a term with us last week that I hadn't thought of before in the way Russell plays, and that's conviction. The conviction he has on his throws. And it certainly seems that each week you can see that there's, whether it's a belief, the decisiveness and the velocity that it comes out. I thought that's, we're seeing a quarterback that's operating at his absolute best.
You know, I there's a play that stands out in my mind in the game when it was 3rd and 4 in the last drive, and he throws a slant to DK, and he knew exactly what was happening on pre-snap. He knew where the ball was going. He came up, put his foot in the ground, and just freaking ripped the ball and really threw it by DK. And he could have caught the football, but it was such a hot ball. But that's an example of it, you know. And the touchdown he threw to Greg two weeks ago, when just ripped the ball down by the goal line in the red zone. That's conviction, you know. And you can see it in when he doesn't throw the ball hard, too. That we threw the crossing route down there to Tyler down in the red zone. And he knew exactly what should happen. It did. And he just laid one out there for him nice and easy and made a nice little throw to him. But those are commitments that he knows ahead of time what should happen. And as it's happening, he's totally got it. And so that's what I mean by that. And you can see the high level of execution is coming from, you know, his commitment to the system, his knowledge of the players, his trust in the guys, trust in the system and what's happening. And the preparation is working out. So, people will do things here down as we get going here to try to change that from happening. And we've got to be able to be flexible and adjust. And it might not be quite as it's been. But we'll have to find it in other ways.
You showed some conviction on 2 fourth down decisions, and both of them worked out. Right before halftime, you bring everybody out wide, try to draw them off on a hard count, and instead they don't go off. Michael Dixon lands a great punt. Shaquille Griffin gets an interception and ends up finishing the half, the Seahawks scoring. And then in the second half, you have 3 timeouts left. You're driving on Dallas. It's 4th and 3, and Russ finds Greg Olsen. What went into those two decisions?
Well, I'm not going to tell you all of it, but the first one, you know, what worked out well is they were unsure whether or not we were going to convert on 4th down, so they don't want to leave. They don't want to call timeout and leave time on the clock, you know, before that play, because that would have given us more time. So it worked out where we worked the time down, and that was a real favorable situation. We were in 4-down mode in the last time, you know, we were in it because we wanted to go ahead and take our shot right now with the offense and see if we could pull it off instead of kicking it deep and starting over again, you know, in that situation. So we've worked really hard in those crucial situations to have the right calls and the right plays. Shadi went to, you know, a real fundamental call for us, and Russ executed it perfectly with Greg reading the spacing and all of that to make the conversion. It's really believing in our ability to execute is what allows us to go for it on 4th down. Those aren't guesses in the sense that, oh, let's hope it happens, it works out. We're really counting on it's going to happen. And so we try to pick and choose our times properly and make the most of them.
Coach, when it's time to win a ball game and Russ has the ball in his hands, I mean, everyone believes he's going to get it done. What's the communication like between two? Do you acknowledge, like, hey, Russ, big drive, let's go win it? Or is it just business as usual? Let's go down and do what we do.
No, there was really a good moment as we're getting ready from the break to go out on the last drive. And Russ and I were just face-to-face on it. And I said, you know, field goal wins it. You know, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, well, we're going for the touchdown. we both said it at the same time. And it was an awesome moment because the best part about it was after the game, just before he's going to his press conference, we revisited that moment, you know, because it's just the way we look, you know, the way we look at it, and let's go for all of it and go get it. And I couldn't, you know, be more in sync with him in that sense. And there was no doubt what he had in his mind. So it was a beautiful job of finishing the drive.
That's a great, that's fantastic. I appreciate you giving us that insight. That's awesome to hear. The unfortunate part today, I'm going to have to go through injuries with you, Pete. And this isn't, I was joking with somebody, it's going to take the whole show, and it's not, but it was a bummer. Can I get updates? Damian Lewis left the game with what looked like an ankle injury.
Yeah. He sprained his ankle, normal sprain, not a high ankle sprain. It was pretty sore after the game. He has a chance to play just to see how he responds to it. For an offensive lineman, he has a better chance than maybe a skill guy would in this with this injury. So it wasn't real serious, but we'll have to wait and see. By the way, I thought Jordan Simmons did a really good job coming in and playing for him. Did a nice job for us.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Jordan Brooks, who started in place of Bruce Irvin this game, he left the game with a sprained knee. Any indications on how serious that might be?
Really, what happened in that we had the MRI season happened last night, and our guys went through, and for the most part, everybody had the minor of the injury, and so he has a first degree strain, and we got to see what happens with him as he goes through it. It just depends on how he responds. Again, it's a little bit harder for the linebackers and the running backs and stuff like that with a knee, but we'll see. I don't know if you remember the play. He got whacked on the knee by Elliott, you know, on a pass rush. And we had anticipated him being a cut blocker, and he just ran right into it and got killed on the play, you know, so it was unfortunate.
Yeah, and Jamal Adams left with a groin strain. You said it was MRI season. Looked like he was laboring to get around after.
Yeah,
after
it was really bothering him after the game. He was really bummed out because he wants to play so badly, and you can imagine how important it is to him. But he too had a first degree strain, so we'll see how that goes, and we'll just have to go day by day with that.
Last guy that was hurt was Chris Carson, and that seemed, I'm going to use the most charitable description, was it seemed like a really unnecessary play.
Yeah, I was really pissed about that one. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I was pissed because that guy hurt him, you know, unfortunately, and he has, likewise, he's got a first-degree strain, and we'll just have to see how that goes. I keep saying the same thing, but with a running back, it's a little bit more, you know, more of an issue than a big guy.
And then the other two guys that were inactive, Quentin Dunbar, Delano Hill, or Lano Hill, any chance that those guys will be able to be back this week?
There's a chance on both of them, particularly for Lano. He had something that he woke up with, and we checked him out and x-rayed him and all that stuff. Think everything turned out negative, but he was real uncomfortable. And remember, he had the real serious hip injury, and it was in the same area. So he was concerned that maybe it might be something related to that, which we don't think it was at all. And so he has a chance to come back. We'll see how he goes. Quentin, we're working on his knee. We've got to make sure that he bounces back. We'll see how he does. We thought he would make it through the week, and it just didn't improve. So he had some treatment and some stuff done that gives him a chance. We'll have to wait and see, though.
It's a next man up kind of league, and the defense definitely has some things to work on, but there's some really, I think, great contributions down the stretch from Ugo Amadi, from Shaquem Griffin, from Syracuse's own Alton Robinson, and from Ryan Neal as well.
Yeah, that was great to see those guys make plays. It's such a such an accomplishment for those guys to get up to play, you know, for the first time, and not Ugo, but the other guys, and then to have an opportunity to create something and make a contribution to the win, you know, with the big sack and the big interception and the big stop and the 2-point play for Ugo. I mean, it's a thrilling opportunity that arises, and then when they do something, man, it's all they could hope for. So it was really exciting, and it's just exactly like you said. You know, we've got to have guys step up. It's going to continue to be that kind of a challenge for us, and there's nothing new about that. That's football, but it is. It's wonderful to see these guys be able to answer and come through, and their teammates just love to see that happen so much. So we're excited about that.
Coach, Shaquem Griffin got beat, but he also had 11 tackles and an interception. Hasn't recorded an interception in a couple of years. Was this the best game you've seen out of him this year?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know that I'd say that. I think he had a great pick. He had some great plays, but we need to play better on the back end. We gave up too much, and he was involved with all of our guys. You know, had some contribution to it that we got to do better. But the fact that Shaq was so active and he's playing so hard and he's giving it up and making terrific plays, it's obvious. And so, but when you throw it, I don't know, what was it yesterday? Was it 55?
57, 59.
Yeah, 57 or something attempts. You know, there's going to be plays that are going to be made on the other side, and that's a lot of shots at our guys. Shaq is a great player, and he's a great team guy, and was that the pick before halftime was just perfect and gave us a chance to get in the end zone. So what did happen, you know, again, you're seeing some really outstanding plays by us on defense that are really giving us a chance to change the situations, and guys are coming through. We just need to clean up some stuff so that those plays are really the part we're emphasizing in this day after the game. That's coming. I think Shaq's doing a really good job.
Pete, you mentioned it's kind of been this. These sort of games have been played across the league. You're seeing big double-digit leads evaporate all across the league. Scoring is up by everybody. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that there's what we're seeing is a huge commitment to the throwing game. You know, mm-hmm. people are just not satisfied staying balanced, and so that's putting up the numbers. As long as you keep turning the ball over from them, and then it, you know, you're going to be okay. But it's a bit of a distraction almost. You know, that there's so much throwing going on, and I think that's why the numbers are up. And I would have to think that the defenses have not. You know, just in general, have not been able to get ready as they would get ready in a normal off season, and so that the offenses are ahead, and I think that's pretty clear. And there's a bunch of, I mean, you know, you got to feel fortunate, you know, that we're the ones that we're winning our games, and there's a lot of other teams that aren't able to get it done, and they're all, no, not all, half the games yesterday came right down to the last drive, probably, and so fortunately we're really geared for that on both sides of the ball, and hopefully we can keep, you know, making it win for us.
Yeah, you are geared for it. We see a game-winning touchdown and then a stop by your defense. It was awesome to see. I'm gonna bet that you could hear at least a few fans shouting from their homes as you guys are making that final stand there. It's different, and I think we're all bummed that stadium doesn't sound like it used to, and we know what it would feel like if we're 3-0, but it's so exciting. And I know that while we're all kind of apart right now, we're pumped at what you guys are doing, Pete.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, we are excited about it. You know, so it's the way you start when you have a great year. You know, and so we're going to keep going. I'm glad we got the two games at home too. Which, you know, which last year wasn't as good as we wanted it to be. We're off to a good start at home, regardless of what the factor is. I'm pumped about that. And here we go on the road. We're going cross country again. Let's go do one of those trips, and we'll see if we can find our way to get a win down there in Miami.
And we'll talk to you after that next week. Pete, congratulations. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. See ya.
That is the Pete Carroll Show. Pete Carroll joins us after each Seahawks game. 3-0. And the way that they've gotten there is probably not the way any of us would have necessarily expected. An awful lot of yards that have been given up. And I think you hear from Pete there that they understand that there are things that need to be worked on, but that they have been able to get to this point gives them a chance to have a great season, Paul.
What they've been doing, it seems sustainable. And that's the craziest part about this. Who would have thought that an offense that is scoring at this rate with Russell Wilson putting up historic numbers to open the season could carry the defense through some real problems? And I'm excited to see it some more. I mean, I do not know what is going to slow Russell Wilson down. I think he's on the way to an MVP and bump. I'm sure you can see it too. For these receivers that he has are fantastic. Lockett with a great day. And DK Metcalf, though, obviously the bad fumble, shook it off with that big catch at the end.
Yeah, when you got DK and you got Lockett, and you still got David Moore, who didn't do much this week. Still got Freddie Swain. Josh Gordon will be there as well. So, yeah, you look at it, and it's probably not a style of play or winning that you're comfortable with, but it's something that you see that can work as long as Russell Wilson is playing at a high level. And I've seen nothing that says that he's going to slow down.
Yeah, they are coaching this team to its strengths. Its strengths is the quarterback, is the offense that's off to the highest scoring start in franchise history, and a team that is 3-0 for just the second time under Pete Carroll. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate Brock Huer, John Clayton, and, of course, Pete Carroll coming by. Michael Bumpus, who is with us for the 9 o'clock hour, always a great way to start the week and a week where we'll be building up to a game against Miami. Jessamyn McIntyre is the executive producer and the beacon of light on this show for at least two more days after this one. DJ Wilder
two
kept everything.
More days.
DJ Wilder kept everything running on time, and he is Paul Gallant, and yeah, he didn't need a trebuchet to take the Seahawks to a victory in this one.
We almost had a trebuchet from DK Metcalf. It was so close. Carry the ball into the end zone. And he's Danny O'Neill, and he knows that Alton Robinson went to Syracuse University. So long, farewell. You will hear us tomorrow.